Heavenly Father, we're so grateful. We thank you for another privilege and opportunity that we have to gather together to come and share your word. We humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. And so I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak as I should, even as an oracle of God. I pray that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will hear me remotely electronically, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in each heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and then emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great as well as in sufficient measure. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. This morning we're going to continue our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in our last lesson, we stopped in verses 11 and 12, where Paul said that all these things, what things? The things the children of Israel suffered in the wilderness. And it is a type of exactly what we're going through today. They were brought out of Egypt, a type of us getting born again, baptized into the water, a type of going through the Red Sea, of which, you know, the Red Sea typifies that. Then they were baptized in the cloud and in the pillar of cloud during the day, the pillar of fire at night, which is a type of us being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's frightening how accurate the scriptures are, you know. And then they had, you know, manna from heaven every day, a type of us reading our Bibles daily and being fed with the Word of God. Then water came out of the rock, a type of us getting the life of God. So these people had all these wonderful experiences. Sadly and regrettably, majority of them did not make it to the promised land. They actually perished and died in the wilderness. And Paul is telling us why that happened to them, so that we will learn from their mistakes and the same things will not happen to us. It's a sad commentary of history that the church is doing almost exactly the same thing Israel did. You know, because when you, it took some years ago, it hit me like a, you know, it hit me like a ton of bricks, so to speak. You know, when I realized, my eyes kind of opened, wow, this is us. You know, and you see the same problems, and we looked at them. You know, the first one was idolatry, you know, which today is covetousness. The Bible says, Paul, writing in one of the epistles, he said that, you know, do not use prosperity as a cloak for covetousness. You see, prosperity is the will of God. And the New Testament, excuse me, is very emphatic about it. It says Jesus became poor that we might be rich. So people can take that because it's true, you know, but use it as a cloak, an excuse for covetousness. Interestingly, the scripture just came to me. The same Bible now says that they that will be rich will fall into a snare. Even though the Bible says Jesus died, you know, he became poor that we might be rich. So doesn't God want us rich? Yes, he wants us rich. But he wants us rich in the right way. You know, and the Bible tells us how. It says that, you know, we should prosper even as our souls prosper. So if you try to be rich without your soul prospering at the same time, you will enter into the trap of covetousness. You know, and this destroyed these people in the wilderness. The second thing he spoke about was sexual immorality, fornication. We dealt with that in great detail. The third thing he spoke about was murmuring and complaining. You know, that's a big thing in the church today. Big. You know, most Christians, once ever they get into trouble, when everything is fine, just like children of Israel, they're praising God and you know, saying, oh, praise God, you know, love God and sing and everything. Just like the children of Israel. You know, when they came out of Egypt and the Red Sea swallowed up the Egyptians, you know, and their chariots and their horses, Miriam led the praise and worship with the tambourine. And they were all praising God, just like us. Nothing has changed, brethren, you know. And that, it wasn't more than 1 or 2 days later, you know, as they moved, they came to a place where the water was bitter. The same people, they began to murmur and complain, you know, that God had brought them to the wilderness to kill them with thirst. And then God had to tell Moses to put a stick, you know, into the water, and the water became sweet. But it didn't stop there. They kept on murmuring. Every time there was a delay in some supply, or they didn't have something, they didn't have food. You know, there was one time he said, I've so looked at this daily manna. You know, God was giving them manna, the corn of heaven, that angels were eating. You know, but they were not satisfied. You know, and they say, oh, we want onion and meat and garlic and onions and all of those things. God was very angry. He supplied it, you know, and many of them died. So murmuring and complaining is a very dangerous thing. As a Christian, avoid it. No matter what is going through, always thank God. The Bible says, it didn't say for everything, it says in everything. Give thanks. Father, I thank you. You're working this situation out. I don't understand everything, but I know you because you're a good God. You're a faithful God. You watch over your word to perform it. I told us last week the example of Gordon Lindsay, great man of God. God used, you know, he died in 1973, which is many, many years ago, over 50, almost 50 years now. So most this generation of Christians don't know him, but we who got born again in the late 70s, and we knew Gordon Lindsay was a great man. God used him tremendously. It was his Bible school, Benson Idahosa went to, you know, and these were the people who supported Pa Elton when Elton was given the left full of fellowship, you know, from the Apostolic Church, because it was the Apostolic Church that sent Pa Elton as a missionary to Africa. Then when he started getting into the prophetic and all these things, just like today, they didn't like it. So they told him, either you stop that or we kick you out. So they kicked him out, and he had no money. He had no support. Missionary in Africa. But thank God, Gordon Lindsay and some of the other brethren in America started sending him money, and that was how he was sustained. So Gordon Lindsay, he was sick, and he almost died, actually. And he just told God, he said, well, for the record, he didn't complain and say, oh God, why, you know, I'm believing you, you left me here and I'm dying. He said, you know, he said, for the record, Father, I thank you and I just want you to know that I believe your word, and I say by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And you know what? He got healed. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. He got healed. So God doesn't want us to complain. Even unto death, you don't complain. Bible says they love not their lives unto the death. It must be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you say, our God is able to deliver us, no matter what you're facing. But even if he doesn't, I'm still not going to murmur and complain. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I praise him and say, Father, thank you. You know, it's very important. You know, and it will be tested. You know, sometimes you know the word of God, you say the right thing, you pray in tongues, you walk in love, everything, and yet the answer is not coming. What do you do? Are you going to start blaming God, saying, oh God, why do you do this? You know, any type of blame of God or murmuring and complaining is to impugn his character. You're telling God that, you know, what's wrong with you? How can you talk to God like that? But really, that's what you're saying. You know, God, come on, you know, do something. Don't talk to God like that. God is still God. No matter what happens, it will not change him as God. So you must, no matter the situation you're facing, that reverence, that love and reverence for God should always be there. So you, instead of complaining, you give thanks. You say, God, it's all right, you know, no matter what happens. So the Bible now tells us, verse 11. Now let's read this together. It says, now, all these things we spoke about, you know, idolatry, fornication, murmuring, complaining, happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. In other words, everything that happened to them is a type, an example for what is still happening to us today. Wherefore, verses 12 and 13 we're going to spend some time on this morning. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Everybody scream it. I didn't hear you. I did not hear you. Who will not suffer? The word suffer is old English. A better word today is allow. Who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will. This is a definite promise. With the temptation. Also, make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. Everybody scream it again. God is faithful. You see, God wants you to understand that irrespective of the difficulties you may be going through or you are going through, he's inside that situation with you. And if you will do some things I'm going to tell you to do in a minute, you know, you will find that he will make a way out of the situation. However terrible, however, and that's why God used extreme examples. And I mentioned it earlier on, you know, a few minutes ago about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, nothing is worse than your life being taken from you and being thrown into a fiery furnace. But those boys, you know, they knew their God. They said, our God whom we serve. It's the ultimate of faith. Because faith is actually trusting God. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow to your idol. In life or in death, I'm going to serve God. Are you listening to me? It takes time to get there. Most Christians are not there. Most Christians will bow to the idol. Most Christians today will bow to the idol. They won't be able to say, you can put me into the fire. But you need to get there, you know, in your faith. And you get there by doing what I'm about to tell you to do now. So, he says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, take heed to what? And how do I take heed? This is a deep truth here. You must take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. This is how, you know, nobody should think I'm so strong. You know, is it let him that thinketh he stands. Oh, you know, I'm fine. I believe God. I know God. You know, nothing can ever shake me. you must understand that kind of boasting is very dangerous. Because you might think you are standing, but given a certain set of circumstances and a certain set of trials, you might just find yourself falling flat on your face. And you'll find that you're not as strong as you thought you were. Now, the way to make sure that you keep standing is to take heed to two things. Firstly, to yourself, and secondly, to the doctrine. We see this in 1 Timothy. Let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 15 and 16. This is Paul's admonition to Timothy, a young pastor. He was a young man, but he was one of Paul's disciples, and he was one that Paul trusted the most. So Paul made him, ordained him to become the bishop or the senior pastor of the church at Ephesus. There were a lot of people who were older than him. You know, but Paul said, don't let anybody despise your youth. Now, he now gives him the things to do and practice that will make sure he wouldn't fall or he would not fail in that calling. But this is not only true of being a pastor, it's true of all of our lives. Look at what he said. He said, meditate. I didn't hear you. Upon these things. What things? These things he's been talking about. The fruit of the Spirit, the character of God, the Word of God. Meditate upon them. Give thyself partially to them. This is deliberate. I said that deliberately. You know, man, most Christians don't do this. We give ourselves the Word of God, but not wholly. You know, we don't give ourselves wholly to the Word of God. We give ourselves to the Word of God when it's convenient. We pay a lot of lip service to God's Word. And that's why I said this thing is very deep. It says, give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all, or appear in all things. That you know, people will see, you yourself will see, and other people will see how God is strengthening and blessing you in every area of your life. Observe, he said, in all things. I didn't hear you. He said that the margin of the Bible, if you look at some of the other translations, let me just quickly look at that. You know, so that your progress may be clear to everyone. You know, so everyone may see your progress. There's another scripture, it says, your problem may be evident to all. It's evident to all, but it's also in all things. Why in all things? Because it's an unbalanced Christian life to profit in one area and not profit in another area. So a lot of people often think that once you're profiting materially and financially, then you're okay. That's important. It has its place, but it's not enough. You need to profit not only in the material, you need to profit spiritually. You need to profit in your, you know, your progress should be seen in your character. You know, in fact, character is more important than the gifts. It's more important than the, Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. So your profiting in the fruit of the Spirit should be evident to all. People should be able to see, you're kinder, you're more patient, you're more humble, you're more gentle. We should see your profit in all those areas. And of course, also in the area of material and financial blessing. So it's a well-rounded, you know, all-round prosperity. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed. I didn't hear you. Unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Continue in what? Continue in the doctrine. I'm going to share more of that in a minute. For in doing this, this is a great instruction. You will save yourself and them that hear you. Let me paraphrase that. You will not only save yourself, you will save all those who copy your example. those who listen to you and also do the same thing you are doing. I thought Timothy was already saved. You can now understand why I referenced this from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is a pastor, the pastor of a big church in Ephesus, you know, and God told him, he said, take it to yourself and to the doctrine. He said, you know, give yourself wholly, completely. And that's where a lot of the problem is. We don't give ourselves wholly. We're going to see that in a minute. You know, take it to yourself and to the doctrine. Then continue. Everyone say continue. Scream it. I didn't hear you. Say it again. You know the same thing Jesus said? He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You know, it's not enough just to accept the word of God and say, yes, okay, I believe it, and say, and then do it for some time. Then after a while, you stop. No. He said, continue. He said, then you will become my disciples indeed. A lot of people are disciples in mouth, but they're not disciples in deed. To be a disciple in deed, you need to be somebody who continues in the word. That is, you continue to practice, you continue to do what the word of God says, even when it's difficult, even when it is not easy, even when it is not convenient. Now, this is where the problem lies. That's why I spoke about not giving ourselves wholly. See, most people, when they start with the word of God, and then they accept it, you know, then Jesus says it beautifully in the parable of the sower. He said, these are they which are sown, you know, on the rock, you know, on shallow ground. He says, they receive the word with gladness. He said, but when persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake, they become offended and then they fall away. They don't continue. They don't continue. The same thing with those who fall among thorns. The Bible says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, watch this, the lusts of other things. The word lust just means desire. It becomes sinful when the desire is contrary to the desire, to the will of God at that time, because it's a dynamic thing. For example, the desire to eat is not wrong, but it becomes wrong when you are fasting. Hello? You know? So, that's the definition of lust. It's a desire inconsistent with the will of God at that time. So, what it may not, if you're fasting, for example, and you're going to break your fast at 6 o'clock in the evening, the desire for food at 4 o'clock in the afternoon will be a lust. But at 6:30 in the evening, it will no longer be a lust because you're no longer fasting. Are you listening to me? You need to understand these things. So what happens is that's we're going to get to the holy now. Give yourself holy unto them. The thing about it now is that people are doing the word of God. They're practicing it. Then when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, then they become offended. You know, they don't continue with it because of the inconvenience it is to their flesh, you know, and to their circumstance. So they don't give themselves wholly, wholly, completely. They don't give themselves, they give themselves to it, but not completely. In time of persecution, in times of affliction, they drop the word of God. They don't continue with the word of God. And those kind of people cannot bring forth much fruit. And that's why they fall. So that's what Paul was telling Timothy and telling us and the Corinthians. He said, take heed to thyself. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So you take heed to two things. Number one, yourself. You need to be watching yourself. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. Check yourself. What's my attitude? Am I getting offended? You know, am I getting weary? Am I getting, I'm going to say something that's about very funny, you know, that's why I laughed, but I'll say it, you know, am I getting tired of God? Someone say, can somebody be tired of God? Oh, yes. You know, I've had people tell me that over the years, you know, sometimes, look, I'm tired of all this prayer. One person left this church many, many years ago. So, I think we went to ask her, or somebody asked her. She said, I'm tired for confession, prayer. I'm tired. You know, tired of life scriptures. I'm tired of groaning. I'm tired. Hello. You know, you can be tired. Or let me correct that. You can allow yourself to become tired. That's a better, you know. You should not be. How can you be tired of doing what is right? But you can be if you do not take heed to yourself. So you need to watch yourself. Watch your will. Watch your mind. Watch your emotions. Watch your physical body. Watch your desires. Be able to, you know, correct yourself. The Bible says, judge yourself. You know, it says, know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobates? You know, that's one of the reasons why the scripture says this thing is getting deeper and deeper and deeper. I don't have all of these things in my notes. You know, the scripture says that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them so that they are without excuse. Every single human being has what we call a conscience. And you yourself, you will know in yourself when you're going off. That's why the Bible says you should judge yourself. You yourself, you can know, this is not, you know. I know it's happened to me too, you know, over the years. You know, there are times when, you know, I don't feel like praying. Has that ever happened to you? You wake up one morning and just, you know, say. So what do? You don't do what you feel like doing. What do I do? I'm telling you what I do. I'll tell you for myself. I judge myself. This is where mercy kicks in. And honesty of heart. Instead of pretending as if I don't know how I'm feeling and all of that, or complaining and blaming God, you know, or something. What I've learned to do is I just go to God. And I'm honest about it. God, you know, I don't feel like praying. And I'm feeling weak, or I'm feeling discouraged, or I'm feeling tired. I'm honest. You're not going to get far with God if you're not honest. Then I say, God, I know it's not right. Please have mercy on me and help me. It's very simple. And then I start to do it little by little. I may not be able to do all I normally do, but I will start. You know, a little prayer here, a little, you know, I pray in tongues a little bit. You know, and I just find that when I'm honest like that, mercy, the mercy to be faithful, mercy not to be discouraged, mercy not to faint, kicks in. And I just get stronger, you know. And in another hour or two, I find that I'm okay, you know. But if I had yielded to that feeling and got angry with God and got tired of God, you know, and stopped praying, I would have gone downhill. That's what leads people to backslide. You know, there are people like that. Instead of judging themselves and being honest and going to God, they allow themselves to stay in that condition. Then they stay like that for 24 hours. Then some people stay like that for a week. They say, man, say, come to church. I don't feel like, you know. I don't, you know, just go out. I'll see you later, you know, no problem. You know. And before you know it, they start going from the person who was hot, watch this. The person who was hot goes from hot to lukewarm. Then from lukewarm to cold. It doesn't happen overnight. When a person is not honest with themselves, when they do not judge themselves, when they do not count God to be faithful, you know, instead of taking responsibility for their own desires and actions, they blame God, they blame the pastor, they blame their wife, they blame the husband. Every other person is wrong except you. Instead of taking responsibility for your own attitudes and actions, you get angry with God, angry with the pastor, angry with the teaching, angry with everybody, and say, you know, I did everything they said they should do. You look at what has happened to me. Maybe you're offended. Some answer to prayer has not come, you know, or you expected something to happen. It has not happened. And you say, everything they told me to do, I did. You're lying. There's one thing you're not doing. That is, you're not continuing. That's what the scripture says. So you should continue. When you're not continuing, you're complaining. You're murmuring. And that's what's going into the mess you are in. And if you don't change it, that thing can go downhill like that. And that's what happens. So that's why Paul told Timothy, and he told us and the Corinthians, he said, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Now, let's go to the doctrine now. What is the doctrine? It's teaching. But what is in this specific circumstance, or rather situation, exactly what doctrine? It's not just the general doctrine that Jesus was born of a virgin and he was raised from the dead. You know, that's general. But let's be specific. Is this doctrine I taught us last week for obedience? Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Keep the word of faith in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Meditate in the scriptures, you know, day and night. The word meditate, I like it because it means to think upon, but it also means to mutter. That is, you're saying it to yourself. You're not necessarily shouting it out loud, you know. You know, that's real prayer. Prayer is not only just when you're making noise. There's a place for that. But there's also the quiet prayer where just you and God. The Bible says, Paul, talking in one place, he said, you know, let him talk to himself and to God. Talking about tongues, that you shouldn't just get up in the service and just start praying in tongues loudly so that everybody will know you can speak in tongues. He said, you know, has thou faith, have it to thyself with God. There's a place for just that quiet meditation where I'm saying God's words. I endure long and I'm patient and kind. You know, I'm forbearing. You know, I'm not discouraged. I will not faint. Lord, have mercy on me. It's just you and God, quiet. Meditate. Say, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly, completely to them, you know. Then your profiting will appear to all people and in all areas of your life. You know, and then you take it to yourself and you continue in the doctrine. Watch this. He said, you will save yourself. It means that even though this is a great truth, even though we're already born again and we're already saved, to stay saved. People don't like to hear that. It's not once saved, always saved. It's not true. I know a lot of people preach a lot of grace, you know, hyper grace. That's just a distortion of the true grace of God. That, you know, they come with this doctrine of the unconditional love of God. That is a lie. The love of God is not unconditional, it's undeserved. In other words, God doesn't, the sinner does not deserve to be saved, but God saves him. You did not deserve for God, Jesus to die for you, but he died for you. You know, it's many times all of us do it. You get into unbelief, we get into laziness, but in spite of that, God still blesses us. You don't deserve it, but that's what agape is. But it's not unconditional. That means that when God has shown you that goodness, it is supposed to provoke repentance. For the goodness of God should lead you to repentance. Now, when it does not, when that repentance doesn't come, then judgment comes. So the love of God is not unconditional, it is undeserved. I can scream that from the rooftop. Are you listening to me? I'm tired of hearing this rubbish about the law of God being unconditional. It's not unconditional. It's undeserved. And it will be like that for a long time. God will still show you love and kindness for a long time, even when you don't deserve it, in the hope that that goodness will lead you to repentance. Follow me to Romans chapter 2. May God have mercy on us. You can now understand why he says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He said here, should we save thyself and them that hear thee? You know, yes, you're saved. And you're on the road to heaven. But you need to continue in the things of the Spirit. You can't say, oh, you know, since I'm saved, it doesn't really matter what I do. You know, God loves me unconditionally. I can do what I like, it doesn't matter. You know, God understands. You know, we're still living in the flesh. Have you heard that before? You know, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So it really doesn't matter. You know, the grace of God will cover for my weakness and all of that. And you know, there's truth in all of that. But the thing about it is that when you take it to an extreme, it now becomes something that is not true. You know. And it doesn't guarantee, you know, God to save you. That's why it says, do these things, then you will save yourself. And then those that copy your example, those that hear you, but not just hear, but also practice the same thing you're practicing, you will also save them. So it's very important for us to realize that, yes, God wants to save us. God wants to help us, you know. But we also are to cooperate with God. Look at Romans chapter 2. I need to go there. It's not in my notes, but I think it's chapter 2 or chapter... It's 1 and 2 anyway. There's some of it in chapter 1. I think it's in chapter 1 where he says, you know, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven in verse 18. Against ungodliness and righteousness for that which may be known of God. Like I said, every human being has a conscience. When they knew God, verse 21, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, etc., etc. I don't want to get into all of that. You know, it's like God gave them up, you know, to vile affections. You know, I'd be wondering, how can people, human beings, you know, made in the image and likeness of God, how can they degenerate to things like bestiality, sleeping with animals, you know, homosexuality, you know, things that are you know, perverse and contrary to nature. It's because, you know, they took, you know, they knew God. You know, like I always tell people, anybody who says they don't know God is a liar. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. You don't have to go very far. Just, you know, then look at your physical body. Then look around you. Then in our own generation now, this 42nd generation, everybody saw what God did with Israel. But you can look at all of that and say, oh, you know, just coincidence. You know, you're telling yourself, you're lying to yourself. When you do that, then you get into the wrath of God. You know, the Bible says in verse this chapter, we're going to get to verse 2, chapter 2 in a minute. But let me just say this. It says, they're filled with unrighteousness, fornication, blah, blah, blah. Verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. See, this God's love is good because it gives you that long rope, but it's not unconditional. Now, chapter 2, right. Hallelujah. Now, look at verses, I can't read everything because of time. Yes, let's look at verses 4. Yes, let's look at verse 4, 5, and 6. And, you know, I'll see how the Holy Spirit directs me. It says, okay, thank you, Jesus. You know, it's as if one should start from verse 1. Thou art inexcusable, O man, that judges another, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, verse 3. And thinkest thou this? I didn't hear you. O man, turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you, he's talking to me. That's why you know the Bible is the word of God. This is a treatise to all humanity. I'm sure you've heard my testimony. You know, I got born again on these scriptures. These were the scriptures that got me born again. I was a youth copper in Ecom, 1978-79. You know, I graduated in 78. You know, I started my youth corps in September. This was 1979, the next year. This is how I got born again. I got born again reading Romans chapter 1 and 2. And I gave my life to Christ. Because this thing hits me because it was talking to me. It's talking to all of us. You know, thinkest thou this, old man, that judges them that do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. You know how hypocritical human nature is. If anybody does something, maybe they write something in the newspaper about one politician or somebody did something, everybody will shout and say, ah, you know, what a terrible man, you know. But most people are doing the same thing. The only difference between him and that guy is that he has not been caught. Hello? He said, do you think you will escape the judgment of God? Verse 4. Or despiseth not, or despiseth thou, I didn't hear you, the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering. That's what these people call unconditional. It's not unconditional. It's undeserved. You don't deserve that goodness, you don't deserve the forbearance, you don't deserve the long suffering. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to what? Repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, that is a heart that is not repentant, a heart that takes the grace of God for granted, that takes the goodness of God for granted. Treasurest thou unto thyself wrath. That love has changed to wrath. It's not unconditional. Wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You know, a thought just came to me by the Holy Spirit. Every day I thank God how God led me, us, my wife and I, and when we started Scripture Pasture. At the time, I didn't know the implication of the ripple effect over the years. I've been in this thing now for 40-something years. Scripture Pasture, we started in 38 years this year. But at the time, I didn't know. God said, don't preach topically. Said, teach the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. He said, that way it will keep you balanced. And you will not be able to run away from truth. Because you'll be staring you in the face. See, I can't jump. You know, last week we spoke about fornication. I can't jump those verses unless I want to be dishonest. So it keeps me balanced. And I remember when we started Scripture Pasture, I started with this, the book of Romans. That's my first book I taught. I did Romans, then I did First Corinthians, I did Ephesians, then we did Hebrews and all of that. When I look back now, I thank God. You know, otherwise I could have gone to all these funny extremes about, you know, the goodness of God and the, you know, unconditional love of God. You know, I was talking to a young man the other day, a young pastor in Lagos, you know, and I was telling him, I said, God's love is not unconditional. He preaches unconditional. You know, I said, you're making a very, very great mistake. And you will cause the people who are listening to you, if you don't correct it, you know, to think that, you know, sin is all right. Because, you know, once you're saved, it's guaranteed you will go to heaven. I said, it is not so. Thank God, I think he listened to me. You know, I said, it is not so. The Bible says every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he said, he would take it away and men would gather it to the fire and it would be burned. That's hellfire. Don't let anybody fool you. Now, of course, that's not what the will of God. God doesn't want us to go to hell. And many times to prevent us from going to hell, God will kill us prematurely. Did you hear what I said? I know that people don't like to hear that. It's not the devil, it's God. Kill you. Now, that's what we're coming from. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What happened in the wilderness? All those people died. They didn't go to hell. Many of them, a few went to hell, like Dathan and Korah and some of those terrible guys. You know, but majority didn't go to hell. They went to heaven, but they went to heaven prematurely and they lost their reward and never entered their promised land and never entered into their destiny. The same thing is happening today because many of God's people are very presumptuous. You know, they like to take God for a ride. And do the word of God as it seemeth good unto them. And that's what Paul is warning us about. Let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Can you imagine? We've only done two verses today. I'm going to... I'm still in on verse 12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So that tells us two things. Number one, you can fall. Now, you will not fall in Jesus' name. But it doesn't matter how loud you scream the amen like Pastor Ibrahim. It doesn't matter how loud you scream the amen. You can fall. That's the lesson there. You know, it's not my portion. God forbid. I will never fall. Yes, I agree with you. You will never fall, but it's conditional. How will you never fall? And that's what I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you how you will never fall. You will take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, and you will continue in them. That is how you will never fall. If you do not take heed to yourself, and you do not take it to the doctrine, and you do not continue in them, you will fall. I didn't say you can, you will. That's why it is written. So let us take heed. If any man, he says, you know, he that thinketh he standeth, and I don't think I'm standing, I know I'm standing, but I need to take heed to myself and to the doctrine, continue in them, give myself wholly to them, so that I will not fall. Because if I say to myself that, oh, yeah, I'm strong, you know, I know the word of God, you know, as well, we word of faith guys, you know, and all of that, you know, and then I don't take heed to myself and I don't take heed to the doctrine and I don't continue in them, I will fall. And sadly and regrettably, many of our people have fallen and many are still falling because of not doing this thing I've spoken about. If this is what I just do in this Bible study this morning, I would have done my job. Are you listening to me? You need to take heed to yourself. You need to take heed to the doctrine. Not only that, you need to continue in them. I remember some years ago, somebody was criticizing me and my teaching. You know, he said, thank God for Pastor Lubi. You know, his teaching is for young Christians. It's elementary, you know. It's good. It's very good for young Christians. But, you know, some of us don't, you know. You will never outgrow. Confession, praying in the Spirit, daily Bible reading. It is not for young Christians. It's for every Christian. And the higher you go, or the longer you are as a Christian, the greater your fall will be if you neglect these things. It's a great deception to think that, let me use Olubi Johnson as an example. You know, I've been a Christian for 40 something years. I know the word of God so well. In fact, before you say a scripture, I'll tell you where you're saying it from. So, you know, it is people like you who need to read the Bible every day. You know, people like me, I read it, you know. But, you know, you are the people who really need it. It's not like me, I don't need it as much as you need it. Because it's already inside me. What a deception. What a deception. If I don't take heed to myself and to the doctrine, then I who think I stand can, and in many cases will fall. And that's what's happening to a lot of our people, even our pastors and our leaders. So you just wake up one morning, you hear about this. Go and check the root. This thing is there. He did not take heed to himself. Then he did not take heed to the doctrine. And I'm not talking about the doctrine general. The doctrine, the teaching for obedience. What is it then? He said, don't say the word of God is across the sea. Don't say it is in heaven. The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou may take heed to that. This book of the law will not depart out of thy mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night, that you will observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And you will love your neighbor as yourself. He says, and these words will be in your mouth. You will talk of them when you sit down. You will talk of them when you rise up. You will talk of them when you're walking by the way. You will talk of them, you know, when you wake up in the morning. At least four times, and then frequently throughout the day, the word will not depart of your mouth. Not only that, you will pray in tongues. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Before I close. If I have not taught you anything else, I've taught you this today. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's look at two verses. First of all, verse 5, it says, I would that you some speak in tongues. I didn't hear you. I don't know what is wrong with us. Why we are so dishonest. This is it in black and white. Now, you know what somebody told me when I was a young Christian in Imperial College? He said, that's Paul's opinion. He said, that was Paul's preference. So the whole Bible is Moses' preference. Is Jeremiah's preference. Is Ezekiel's preference. No! This is not Paul talking. It's the Holy Ghost talking through Paul. So I say, the Holy Ghost is the one who's saying, I would. This is what I want for all my children, that all of you speak in tongues. You cannot understand what I'm talking. Keep it contextual. Take it to thyself and to thy doctrine. So the speaking in tongues is a part of the doctrine. Don't do it, you will fall. Amen. Is that a question of time? And fall does not necessarily mean you go to hell. It just means that you may fall, you know, from certain things God has already ordained for you, and you will not be able to achieve them. Oh, am I talking to anybody? Verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. So if you don't pray in tongues, you're not edifying yourself. You're not taking heed to the doctrine. Then jump to verse 15. And I think I'm going to close on that. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. This is the doctrine. This is the teaching. So you pray frequently in tongues. You pray to build yourself up on your most holy faith. So you speak God's word. I love God with all my heart, with all my will, and all my. I love my brethren as Christ loves them. Lord, have mercy on me. I receive your blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I love God. Then I pray in tongues. And then I do that throughout the day. It will not depart from my mouth. I'm taking heed to myself. And then I'm taking heed to the doctrine. So that I that think I am standing, I will not fall. If I neglect these things, then I give room. Stand to your feet. I've got to stop. I give room for Satan to be able to set me up. And even though I think I'm standing, I can fall. Look at David. It just came to my mind. At the age of 50-something, David had known God since he was a teenager. He went 17, killed Goliath. Wrote the Psalms. Beautiful. If anybody said a person like David could do what he did, all of us would say, no, it's not possible. Take heed to thyself. For he that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. You're not going to fall in Jesus' name. That's not what I'm preaching. What I'm saying is, I'm saying, take heed to yourself. Don't take things for granted. Don't assume. David wrote the Psalms. We're going to talk about Solomon later on today. David wrote the Psalms. He knew the Bible. It wasn't a question of he didn't know. He knew. Yet, he fell because at that time in his life, he was not doing this thing. He was not taking heed to himself, and he was not taking heed to the doctrine. There is no way he could have been taking heed to himself and to the doctrine and did what he did. It would never happen. And the same thing is true of us. However, Olubi Johnson, no matter how much revelation knowledge you have written, how much, you know, the word of God you know, preached, you know, and all of that, if I stop taking heed to myself and to the doctrine, the same thing can happen. So I must never assume, you know, that because I've been a Christian for so many years and I know the word of God so well, you know, I can regurgitate it from my head. I have the mental knowledge of it. I have revelation knowledge of it. You know, I preached it. You know, if I don't continue to take heed to myself, and that's the everybody scream, continue. That's the key there. I take it to myself and to doctrine, but I have to continue to do that. I can't do it for 10 years and say, I've done it for so long, I don't need to keep doing it anymore. I can't say, I pray in tongues, you know, I need to pray in tongues. I pray in tongues for 2 hours, 5 hours, then I stop. I must continue until Jesus comes. Close. Like Paul, I'm allowed 3 closes. Are you listening to me? Amen. So long as we're on this earth, that's what a lot of Christians don't understand. You're on enemy territory. That's why I need to take heed to myself and to the doctrine and continue. You know why? I am surrounded by enemies. The prince of the power of the air that is constantly bombarding my mind, my will, my emotions, my body to try and get me off track. I taught this many months ago, spiritual forces. If I applied spiritual forces, you know, the word of God, speaking God's word, you know, confessing the word, praying in tongues, meditating in the word of God, and I did it in the morning, then in the afternoon, I don't do it. The spiritual forces, you know, or what I release in the morning, their effect will wane. And these other negative forces will come. And if what is coming in from the inside is not strong enough to deal with what's coming from the outside, even though I passed in the morning, I can fail in the afternoon. That's how tight it is. And that is why he said, this book of the law shall not, it's not a suggestion, folks. It's an instruction. Depart from your, because the mouth is the launching pad for spiritual forces. Shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written there. For then, that's when you get the result. When you keep the condition, then you get the result. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Even our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, the pattern son. You know what the Bible says about him? In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears, and he was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. That's the answer. Jesus took heed to himself. He took heed to the doctrine, and he continued like that. The last thing he did before he was arrested was pray. He didn't take it for granted, even though he's Son of God. No sin. Born of a virgin. He didn't take it for granted. He didn't assume that, after all, I'm Son of God, you know, and I've been preaching this word of God for these last 30-something years, you know, when they come and arrest me, everything's going to be fine. I will not misbehave. No. He prayed himself through it for 3 hours. So when he appeared before Pilate and he was provoked, he kept his mouth shut. They slapped him. They blindfolded him. They say, prophesy, who slapped you? Great provocation. He kept his cool. Why? He had released the spiritual forces that would keep him through that. It took him from Gethsemane to the cross. Without one mistake. Give him a super clap offering. Oh, hallelujah. And he told the secret to his disciples. He said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. He said, watch and pray always. Watch therefore and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Stop watching and praying, you will enter into temptation. That's the corollary. Are you listening to me? That's how we take it to ourselves and to the doctrine, continuing them. Watch and pray always. Not watch and pray occasionally. Watch and pray always. Let's talk to God. Put one hand on your heart. Let my heart be the temple of your spirit. Be there, me.
Let my heart be the temple of your spirit.
Let my spirit.
Let my spirit fill the
the warmth of your embrace.
Let me be, glory to God.
Let me be
a holy habitation.
A holy habitation.
Where your spirit,
is pleased to dwell.
Of your
embrace. Let me be.
Let me be.
Oh Lord, let me be.
A holy habitation.
Yeah, your spirit.
Let your spirit is pleased to dwell. Oh Lord, I long
to know your glory.
Sacrifice of praise.
Fill this temple.
Fill this temple, Lord,
with your glory.
In this,
fill this temple, Lord.
Raise that hand to God. Put the other one on your heart. These are symbolic things. The one to God shows your dependence on heaven. The one on your heart is symbolic of your honesty, your sincerity. That's all it means. And pray this prayer after me. If Jesus, the Son of God, sinless, if he had to pray so much, What in the world makes us think we can make it and pray any less? It's foolishness. It's the height of deception. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the word of correction. I thank you for the word of rebuke. I thank you for the word of warning that has come to me today. Father, I know you don't want me to fall, but you've shown me how not to fall. And I am not going to be presumptuous. Father, I confess my sins, especially the sin of prayerlessness, not watching and praying always. So, I have been careless and I've allowed my flesh, the will, the sin nature in my will, in my mind and in my emotions many times to get the better of me. But now I understand that I need to daily take heed to myself, take heed to the doctrine, and then continue in them so that I will be victorious over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, so that I will stand. You said in your word that I should take heed to myself so that I will stand and I will not fall. And I declare by your mercy and by your grace that I will stand. I will stand by taking heed to myself, to the doctrine, and continuing them, and I will not fall by your mercy and your grace.
In Jesus' name, amen. That's the use of tongues, folks. Tongues is not for show off. Tongues is to put power behind the word you've spoken. You've spoken the word, but then you need the power. That's why you build yourself up on your most holy faith. Faith comes by the word. Then you now build yourself on top of that faith. Now, pray tongues. We're not playing games here. La prika tofrene. Father, thank you. La prika tolo mashala. Lord Jesus, la prika tolo matufrene. Lord Holy Spirit, niki tofri lambrag shalaka rika tofre. Thank you for your blood, la prika tushke. Thank you for your life, shala pridofre. Thank you for your power, neera katushke frini lambrede lombredolo lambra shala prika tofrene. Into our wills, le prika tushke frene. Into our minds, la prika tolo mashalebre. Into our emotions, la pri rito fridingar. Into our physical bodies, ratushka friding la matolo mengar. Into our circumstances, rika rimotolo meshe lembrido frene no frede lombre. Into our regional heavenlies, lea yakaraga tofrine insufficient measure, rika tofrini lombrido fridushka. In Jesus' name, I'm not going to pray for the sick. I've been instructed and I've been doing it by the grace and the mercy of God to always pray for the sick. If you're here and you need healing in your physical body, just stretch forth your hand. If you're at home, stretch your hand towards your device. Father, we release the healing power. It's already in the air. The Bible says Jesus taught the word and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Father, the power of healing that is already present, we release it into their physical bodies in Jesus' name. We come against the spirit of fear, the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of oppression and depression. We cast you out, we destroy your works, we resist and bind you in Jesus' name. We say, be thou made whole and be thou set free in Jesus' name. In one of our daily rhemas in recent times, Pastor Wally chose a very lovely article. We'd written it some years ago, you know, on understanding the power of God. Even though I wrote it, but the grace of God was just reading it again was very refreshing to me personally. And I shared it with some people and all of that. And in that, you know, in that, we use the illustration of electricity. You know, when electricity comes into a building like this, you've got a fuse box somewhere over there. And this has actually happened many times. You know, my office and the pastor's office is behind this screen. Now, it is possible, and it has happened, and it does happen, you know, to have electricity here and not in my office, even though there's electricity in the building. Why? Because the fuse in that place, you know, it's not working, or there's no light is not supplied to that section of the building. You know, the power of God is exactly the same thing. In a service like this, as I have prayed now, the power of God to heal has been released to everybody. It is each of you is a room. Is your fuse on? If your fuse is on, the power will come into your house and it heal you. If the fuse is not on, and what is that fuse? Faith. That was why you will find, I'm deliberately teaching this, so that people can receive. If you are home, the same thing applies to you. You know? That is why you will find Jesus always demanded a little faith from the people. They weren't born again like us today. They didn't speak in tongues. But he would demand a simple act of faith. For instance, the guy who was born blind, Jesus spoke to him and said, he spat from the ground and then he put it on the sand. Then he rubbed his eye. He said, now, go and wash. Simple. Watch this. When he took the sand and he put his spit on it. The man wasn't seeing.
He couldn't see. As he was walking to the pool of Siloam, he couldn't see. You know, he's blind. He was born blind. So he always had people who helped him. So when Jesus did that thing, he must have got people say, take me to the pool of Siloam. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, we don't know. So he took a walk from where he was sitting begging for money and went all the way to the pool. It was when he got to the pool and then he took the water and he now washed his eyes that the eye opened. Boom! It took a simple act of faith and obedience. If he had sat down there with the sand on his eyes and Jesus' spit and said, the Son of God has spit in my eyes. In Jesus' name, I thank God. He would have stayed blind. So it is today. Pastor me, Olubi Johnson, will say, stretch forth your hand. Stretch your hand toward your device. If you do it in faith, you get healing. The power is already here. Are you listening to me? Even I get healed on my own teaching. It happened last week. I got my voice back. Remember? My voice is much better now. Are you listening to me? Oh, yes. You see, these things, they are spiritual laws. That's what people don't understand. Just like you have natural laws, there are laws that govern electricity. This conduction, it's all of that. And the thing about the laws is that the law is no respecter of people. Electricity will flow in my house as well as it will flow in Pastor Gwega's house if Gwega and I obey the laws of physics. Power will flow into your heart and into your body if you will obey the laws of faith. Honesty, humility, faith, believing. You get it. God is no respecter of persons. Jesus in that place, Bible says, he taught. It was Peter's house. All people came. All the doctors of the Pharisees. It's in Luke chapter 5. The place was full. All the best donkeys were around. Today would have been Cadillacs and G-Wagons and Range Rovers and all of that. But all the top preachers in town, they all came to listen to this upstart from Nazareth. To see what he has to say. And Jesus preaching. Bible says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal all those men. The scribes and the Pharisees. Not one of them got healed. Not one. And then there was a man who was paralyzed. And he had four friends. And they said, that prophet from Nazareth is in that place. If you can get to him, he will get us healed. They were personal non grata, so they were not all the bouncers. They didn't have any invitation, so they could not enter through the gates. So the guy said, "I must get healed." They went under the roof. They tore Peter's roof. Jesus paid for it, you know. Another message for another day, and they let him down. The Bible says, "Jesus looked up and said, when he saw their faith." He says, son, number one, your sins are forgiven you. Well, nobody can see that one because it's spiritual. See, if I say I remit your sins now, nobody can see it. But it's real, spiritual. Then they say, who is this that forgives sin? Who does he think he is? Jesus speaks in the spirit what they are saying in their heart. He said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. I say unto you, take up your bed and walk. The guy walked instantly. And all the scribes and the Pharisees that were there, many of them had, the one that had headache would have headache. The one that had, you know, maybe liver problem would have. They all had different ailments. None of them got healed. Not one. The Bible says, and they were filled with wonder and amazement instead of faith.
He said, we have seen strange things today and left the place without healing. But the simple man, except you become like little children, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. When the pastor, man of God, tells you do this, just do it in faith. God bless you. Have a great day. I long to know your glory. I've come to offer a sacrifice of praise.